So today we'll be speaking from Canto 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 7, Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Daityo Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Swarupena. Jaharasanam Ardhakam. Prabhuji's. Daityo Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Sarupena. Jaharasana Madhakam. Daityo Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Sarupena. Jaharasinam Ardhakam. Daityo Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Swarupena. Jaharasanam Ardhakam. Daityo Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Sarupena. Jaharasanam Ardhakam. Matajis. Daitya Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Swarupena. Jaharasana Madhakam. Daito Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Sarupena. Jaharasana Madhakam. Daitya Namna Trinavarta. Kamsa Bhritya Pranoditaha. Chakravata Sarupena. Jaharasana Madhakam. So the word for word. Daitya. Another demon. Namna. By the name. Trinavartaha. Trinavartasura. Kamsa Bhrityaha. A servant of Kamsa. Pranoditaha. Having been induced by him. Chakravata Sarupena. In the form of a whirlwind. Jahara. Swept away. Asinam, the sitting. Arbhagam, child. Translation. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind. At Kamsa's instigation, and very easily carried the child away into the air. Please repeat. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation, and very easily carried the child away into the air. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother. But when Trinavartasura came, he immediately carried the child away. This was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable energies. When the Trinavartan demon came, Krishna became lighter than the grass so that the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Krishna's blissful, transcendental pleasure. Om Agyandimadandha Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshudumildham Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shigadau Shiyuta Patagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahaganaraganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvayetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Krishna Padan Saganalalata Shriva Shakanvitam Shcha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sando Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaudangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadadubhya Shcha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Goda Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So generally, conceptions of God, especially in the Western world, God is oftentimes seen as unapproachable, even dangerous, and he's certainly alone in his power. He's high above everyone else. You cannot come near him. And yet we see within the Vedic literature, the intimate, the true, deep understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given. He never descends alone. He's never alone. He's always with his associates. In fact, if you imagine when Krishna descends into the world, it's this beautiful, it's not just him. He's in the center, but there's this beautiful mandala of personalities around him. His parents, his friends, his girlfriends, his servants, his close associates, they all come with him at once. And this is the true vision of the personality of Godhead. Krishna is non-different from his associates, and at the same time he is. They're his eternal servants. And so when Krishna comes, he brings the entire party of the spiritual world with him. Yeah? So we see in this particular verse, Prabhupada mentions Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. He mentions this also in multiple verses in this chapter. So today I want to talk about what Ananda Chinmaya Rasa is. We see generally Prabhupada in connection with this wording. We'll quote Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakara Karanam, right? And I'll also quote the Advaitam Achutam Anadam Ananta Rupam, right? Where it's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Ananda Chinmaya Sad Ujvala Vigrahasa, right? Which means it's essentially emphasizing that Krishna's form is Satchit Ananda. Krishna's form is entirely spiritual. And this seems to be Prabhupada's emphasis in this chapter. That we, while hearing these pastimes of the 10th canto, we must always keep in mind that Krishna's body is entirely spiritual. It's unconnected with the material world. There's nothing he desires in the material world. There's nothing on the material platform that Krishna is trying to accomplish here. So what is he trying to accomplish? Well, he's trying to accomplish rasa, and we'll talk about that. As we see later in the chapter, that Krishna's body is entirely spiritual. This is brought out towards the end of the chapter. We'll hear how Mother Yashoda, she's actually has Krishna on her lap, and she's feeding Krishna with her breast. And she's actually looking at his beautiful face, described, you know, he's drinking the milk. She's looking at his beautiful face, and she's touching his body. Yeah. And then if you've ever seen a baby, you know, and the baby's very comfortable and happy, the baby will sort of, you know, and reach back and yawn while it's drinking the milk. And so baby Krishna does this, and Mother Yashoda looks into his mouth. And there she sees the entire universe manifested. She sees all the trees and rocks and mountains and all the stars and outer space, right? So she actually, because she's in parental wrath, she becomes a little bit anxious about this and sort of closes her eyes. You know, it's such a powerful vision. So we see that Krishna's form is entirely spiritual. You're not dealing with any sort of material energy here. He's a sort of manifestation of the spiritual world right there before you in the form of this child, Krishna's original spiritual form. But what is Krishna doing here? Well, he's doing the same thing that he does in the spiritual world. He's trying to enjoy happiness and pleasure. Remember, the Supreme Lord, what does Krishna do in the spiritual world? What is Krishna's main activity? It's just enjoying. That's who he is. He is Rama. Right? He is the origin, the center of all beauty and ecstasy and happiness. That's all Krishna does, is enjoy. We have to remember this about Krishna, that is what he does. He is an enjoyer. And he basically has fun constantly. Right? So what is he doing when he comes to this material world? Well, he tries to have fun. In fact, he does have fun. And that's what we should see that he's doing in these pastimes. He's basically just enjoying himself. Right? Prabhupada mentions in purports around here and also in this one that Krishna made his body heavy for Mother Yashoda. Right? He was resting upon her lap and he became super heavy like a mountain so that she had to put him down. And then similarly when Trinavarta comes, he becomes lighter, Prabhupada says, than grass. Right? Sometimes you're sitting at a park or something, you see there's grass on your knee, you know, you didn't even know it was there. Right? So Krishna is adjusting like this because he's playing. He's having a good time. Krishna is having fun. Prabhupada will also mention that when Trinavarta grabs Krishna and flies with him into the air, that Krishna was enjoying it. He was actually having fun riding into the air, you know, seeing Vrindavan from the sky and everything, right? And we do the same thing, don't we? Like if you go into an airplane, you know, you want to get the window seat so you can see, you know, the beauty of the landscape. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's something intriguing. So where does that come from? Well, that comes from Krishna. So every time you're flying in an airplane and you're looking at the ground, just remember, you're imitating Krishna riding on Trinavarta, right? And so Krishna is always blissful during this. Now, no matter how you approach Krishna, you're drawn into this desire for rasa. Remember, Krishna wants to enjoy. What does Krishna enjoy? He enjoys rasa. Yeah, he wants the bhaktyupahritam, right? He's not interested necessarily in the external offering. He wants the pleasure of devotion that's found in the relationship. When you approach Krishna, he tastes the mood in which you're approaching him. Right? He enjoys relationships. That's who he is. Now, that's maybe a little difficult for us to understand, because in the material world, relationships are pretty much a source of suffering, right? Any other human interaction is oftentimes a source of struggle and friction and misery. And yet, in the original condition in the spiritual world, relationships are the source of the greatest happiness. Krishna is enjoying with his servants. He's enjoying with his friends. He's enjoying with his parents and associates in the mood of his parents. And he's enjoying with the gopis. Right? So Krishna in the spiritual world, he's tasting all sorts of different interactions with his associates. We see that this mood of playfulness is always there in Krishna's pastimes. Even, for example, with Kali, a serpent. No matter how you approach him, Krishna will enjoy you. Right? Kali, a serpent, approached with the mood of killing Krishna. In fact, first he had killed the cows. You know, he poisoned them. They drank in the water of the Kaliyadaha. So when Krishna came to sort of protect the cows, because after all, he is a cowherd boy, then you know, Kaliya tried to kill him too. Kaliya was very envious. And yet Krishna turned it into a situation of play. He jumped on Kaliya's hoods eventually and began dancing around, stomping on the hoods. And Prabhupada mentions that Kaliya was trying to stop him. Right? Kaliya didn't like it. Every time the foot would come, Kaliya tried to move, but Krishna was so much faster. And not only was Krishna faster, not only was he a heroic warrior defeating an enemy, but he was enjoying, he was playing.
Prabhupada mentions that the demigods in Krishna book, you know, they came in the sky and they were playing drums and they began to shower flowers and basically doom da 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 doom da da, right? And Krishna began dancing, right? You begin to imagine Krishna sometimes wears these ankle bells, right? Prabhupada mentions it's the most beautiful exhibition of Bharatanatyam ever. So not only was he dancing, ching, 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 but he was also, you know, making poses and things like this, right? As the facial features, everything was there. And Krishna was having fun at Kaliya's expense, right? Kaliya's going, boom, 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 oh no! Right? He was suffering tremendously. All the venom was spitting out of his mouth, all the poison of his anartas. Right? Due to the power of the blast of Krishna's foot upon his head, which left beautiful footprints. In fact, it's interesting, in the Nectar Devotion, it mentions that Garuda was actually watching this and he was getting angry. Like, this rascal Kaliya, you know, I'll just bite him in one gulp, I'll swallow him, right? He was upset because Kaliya bit Krishna on the leg, actually, right? And Garuda became furious, but, you know, he didn't intervene, obviously, right? So these wonderful pastimes, Krishna is always in this mood of pleasure and happiness. Krishna is always joyful. There's nothing in the material world that affects Krishna negatively. He comes and his body is Satchidananda Vigraha. It's untouched by the material world and it's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. He's always enjoying rasa. That's part of his nature. If you come to Krishna, no matter how you come to him, you come to him as a servant, you come to him as a demon, he's going to try to play with you. Right? Now he'll reciprocate with you how you approach him. So, you know, he'll definitely kill the demons. And we see in the Brahma Samhita, continuing from the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmayarasa Pratibhavatabis Tabidi Eva Nijadupayataka Kalabihi Goloka Eva Nivasatta Kilatmabhuto Govinda Madi Buddhisham Damaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure. The embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities in the company of her confidant Sakis. Embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. So Krishna in the spiritual world, he's engaged in this Ananda Chinmaya rasa. He's engaged in simply tasting rasa with all of his associates. Now of course here it mentions Srimati Radharani specifically, but in other places Srila Prabhupada mentions that this verse indicates that all the associates of Krishna who are his kalabihi, right? They are his kala. They're his expansions. They're all Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So in the spiritual world, all of the devotees are also Satchid Ananda Vigraha, also have pure spiritual forms, and they're simply engaged in rasa with Krishna. Yeah? We see that the nature of their rasa. Now, this is just a very interesting point, and I'd like to just bring out that in the spiritual world, sometimes they're enjoying with Krishna, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're joyful and feeling bliss, and the interaction is very, you might say, it's a very happy one. But sometimes, as we see with Kaliya serpent, that sometimes the devotees in the spiritual world feel great anxiety. Sometimes they feel what looks like misery. In fact, when Krishna, it mentions, Prabhupada mentions, when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya for 2 hours, acting just like a normal baby, which means, you know, he's sitting there like as if, you know, he's totally under Kaliya's control, you know, practically unconscious, this baby being moved over this poisonous lake for 2 hours, right? And so Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys of Kesa, ran to them and said, come on, Krishna. Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. And they immediately, you imagine, they just dropped everything, forgot everything, began running towards Krishna. Right? And it mentions when Nanda Maharaj got there, he said to Mother Yashoda, my dear wife, Krishna has gone deep into the water, and so there's no longer any need to maintain our bodies, which are so full of sinful activities. Let us all enter into the poisonous water than Jamuna and compensate for the sinful activities of our lives. So they're just going to run towards Krishna, feeling this tremendous anxiety. Like, we can't even imagine how much anxiety and fear and suffering they were experiencing. Yeah? So much so that they just ran. Mother Yashoda ran headlong into the poisonous water with Nanda Maharaj, basically running into the flames of death. Yeah? And their feeling was, you know, why should I even live? We're so sinful. Let's just destroy ourselves. And we can't take this. It's such a traumatic experience, right? There's stories in the history of human society where people, you can imagine being caught up in some kind of terrible, horrific ordeal. Mass murder, something like that, where practically the whole world goes blank. Your mind practically goes blank. You cannot handle it. So Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were in this condition. Nectar Devotion mentions when Krishna entered the Jamuna River, which had become very poisonous from the presence of Kaliya, Mother Yashoda feared all kinds of mishaps and she was breathing hotly. Tears from her eyes were soaking her clothes and she was almost collapsing. So she couldn't even stand. Right? She's trying to run into this lake and she cannot even stand. And not only that, but her clothes are soaked in tears. Imagine that. Right? And so, but we have to remember that this anxiety of the associates of the spiritual world, it's another form of ecstasy. This type of anxiety, when they feel it, it's actually super, super intense ecstasy and pleasure and bliss of rasa with Krishna. Super, super intense pleasure. And so it's hard for us to understand because we live in the material world. The material world is simply a reflection of the spiritual world without all the benefits. Right? We have the happiness and distress appearing, you know, the appearance, the shadow of the happiness and distress of the spiritual world, but none of it's blissful. The misery certainly isn't blissful. It's nothing but misery. And the happiness isn't even blissful. The happiness is just a kind of cessation of misery. Yeah? So we're living in this kind of perverted dream of rasa. It's not really rasa, it's just a shadow of rasa. And there's nothing here. There's no real pleasure. There's nothing for us. And yet we're addicted to trying to enjoy it. And therefore Krishna descends to show us what is true rasa, to attract us to the true happiness of a relationship with Him and His associates. Right? We see the same misery, this anxiety, is being expressed in this particular verse and in this pastime. The associates of Krishna, all the gopis, perhaps the elder gopis it doesn't mention, but they're all sitting there, baby Krishna sitting on the ground, Arbakam, right, the little baby boy. And here this Trinavarta, this giant whirlwind come and lifts him into the sky. So the gopis immediately became terrified. Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. Right? They're feeling this anxiety, but it's a spiritual anxiety. Also, in the Brahma Samhita, it mentions again, for the third time, this Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Ananda Chinmaya Rasatmataya Manashu Yaprananam Pratipalam Smaratam Upetya Vilayatena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jastam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world. By the activity of his own pastimes being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. So this means that Krishna's pastimes, this Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Krishna's interaction with his associates, the pleasure, whether in the appearance of happiness and distress, this ecstasy of interacting and loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. And when it enters into the mana, into the minds of the devotees, it is Jayatyajashram. It conquers over the material world. Right? So when you hear these pastimes of Krishna and Kaliya, Krishna and Trinavarta, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna and his friends and servants, then Jayatyajashram, actually the maya that is totally surrounding us and drowning us, this maya, which appears to our meager strength to be unconquerable. Right? It's unconquerable. We cannot cross beyond it. And yet somehow or other, if we hear the pastimes of Krishna, if we just appreciate, even from a distance, the rasa that Krishna is enjoying, then this whole material energy is exploding backwards from the power. Right? Like a nuclear explosion in your mind, driving with a shockwave, maya from you. The power of maya cannot approach you. due to the power of Krishna's pastimes that are surrounding you within your mind. So if we hear and chant about Krishna, which is the very essence of Krishna consciousness, there is no way that Maya can conquer us, because the power of Krishna is there with you, right? As it says here, essentially, this power of associating with Krishna, your mind becomes illuminated by that, and there's nothing that can conquer you. There's no material illusion. And so Krishna, we see when he was dominating Kaliya, smashing Kaliya's hoods, Kaliya was having this poison, this illusion driven out of him. He was being purified by contact with the Leela of Krishna. And eventually, Kaliya became his devotee. Kaliya began to offer prayers to him, right? The Nagapatnis also offered prayers. So this is the power of this Jayatyajashram. Krishna's pastimes are so powerful that they conquer you. They convert you into a devotee. And so when Krishna enters this world, Janma Karma Chidme Divyam, what he's doing is he's offering us an opportunity to see and hear these pastimes. He's offering us an opportunity to immerse our mind within his rasa, his enjoyment of rasa. He's Akila Rasa Mrita Murti, the very first verse of Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu. It tells us that Krishna is the ocean of rasa himself. He is the origin of all rasa, of all pastimes. And when he comes, he's inundating this destructive, disgusting, horrific material world. He's overflooding it with his rasa. And so when we hear and chant Krishna's pastimes, when we hear and chant the holy name of Krishna, when you contemplate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, when we serve Krishna's devotee, the spiritual master, and his mission, and then we also eventually, gradually, become Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. We're participating in Krishna's pastimes by serving the Krishna consciousness movement. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving us an opportunity to hear very intensely and absorb in Krishna's rasa. Not just with our ears, which is most important, but with our minds and with our body as well. We are ourselves swimming in the ocean of Krishna's rasa, gradually becoming purified, gradually understanding the glory of everything that's around us, gradually recognizing the tremendous mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, and gradually entering into those pastimes. And when we are fully purified and fully qualified, and when the blessings of Guru and Krishna are there, then we will follow Krishna and his associates back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for the next class. You were mentioned about rasa.
Mm-hmm.
So, Krishna, rasa, like the king of all rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety, happiness, anxieties, but it's all arranged by yoga maya, mm-hmm. which actually takes various forms. So we even see that yoga maya appears to be in some cases more powerful than Krishna because it makes him forget. Would you like to speak a little bit more about that? That Krishna himself, although he's the controller of all every living entity, even his own maya created on him, it appears that he sometimes he forgets and sometimes he plays the role of God, but sometimes he's not.
Sure.
Can you mention something?
Yes, because that's the nature of enjoying rasa. He has to lose himself in it. Just like an actor or an actress on stage, a really good actor is someone that forgets they're an actor, right? They're so into the role that they actually become the person. They're 100% in it. So Krishna, he of course, to enjoy rasa, that's the purpose of the actor, is he's trying to evoke rasa, right? He feels it himself, he's trying to feel it, convincing, imagining himself to be that person, and he tastes rasa in such a way that everyone that's watching can also feel that rasa. So Krishna, he immerses himself in his pastimes completely, to such an extent that he feels all of the emotions perfectly. For example, we know when Shalya created this illusory form of Nanda Maharaj, right? And then cut off his head. And then Krishna, you know, he was so into the role that he felt tremendous anxiety. Although he's the Supreme Lord and he knows these things. So yes, that is an aspect of rasa, that he allows himself to be consumed by the pastime. And he enjoys it, actually, within those pastimes. He also enjoys being dominated by his devotees out of pure love. Mother Yashoda will chastise Krishna as we're celebrating this month. So Krishna, he's genuinely afraid when Mother Yashoda comes with the rope, right? And she's chastising. You're stealing yogurt, you're stealing butter. All the gopis of Vrindavan are complaining about you. And Krishna genuinely feels it. His cheeks become reddish like bimba fruit. Right, his lips. And so in this way, he's actually feeling anxiety. Oh no, Mother Yashoda's coming, she's coming, she's going to get me. And that's how he enjoys. That's why he is Rasaraj. Okay? Yes, Prabhupada Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. Very interesting class. At what stage of devotional service does one actually start experiencing real rasa? Because you know, you mentioned how all the rasas here in the material world are a perverted reflection of actual rasa. Mm-hmm. So at what stage is it? Shraddha? Is it, you know, sarusanga, bhajanakriya? Do you have to get to anartana vritti, or do you have to get beyond that to nishta, or is it you don't start experiencing real rasa until bhava, prema? Now, realistically speaking, when can one actually expect to experience? I mean, you know, we'll theoretically understand it right from the get-go, but when do you actually experience it? How far advanced do you have to be?
Well, maybe more senior devotees can correct me on this, but it's my understanding that, you know, as one enters into Raghunuga Bhakti, which is on a much higher level of Krishna consciousness than the neophyte platform, which is, to the best of my understanding, is sometime past Nishta into Ruchi and Asakta, then Raghunuga Bhakti awakens when one gets a hint of one's eternal relationship with Krishna, and one sort of recognizes or is attracted to those devotees who are performing that service, and sort of begin to cultivate one's own internal devotion, following in their footsteps. But as far as actually associating with Krishna and personally experiencing rasa, perhaps in the chanting of the holy name, we see with the pastimes of Rupa and Sanatan, you know, when they chant the holy name of Krishna, they actually see Krishna's pastimes. Guna Rupa Nam Nam, right? Lila. Lila is finally revealed at a certain point. And so, to the best of my understanding, that's as you're getting up towards like bhava and prema. If anyone wants to correct me, then I invite.
So if I understood you correctly, the dawning of rasa, you know, the first kind of like glimpses of it would be once you get past the anartana vritti and you're in nishta, and then, right?
Yes, as far as I know, into past nishta, into ruchi,
okay,
and
ruchi,
into that platform.
And then at the later stages it develops and you're actually experiencing it.
Yeah, you'll actually see Krishna and his pastimes when you chant the holy name, when you're chanting in pure love of God as an uttama adhikari. Okay? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Who is it? On the stage of Baba? Mark.